All right, welcome to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt. We are in a hotel room in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I will say, we are not used to the humidity. It is not humid in Utah at all. It's not really humid in California, which is where we spend a lot of time. It's not humid in Arizona, where I used to live. I've been to the South before, but I always forget how humid it is here.
Yeah, you just step out of the car. It's like, well, I'm sweating now.
It's not even like hot. Like, right this second, it's like in the, like, low 80s. So it's not, like, hot, but it's just, like, I'm wet.
Yep. It's a lot of wetness going on, so.
I will say, we got a big show today. A lot going on. We're interviewing Will. I'm going to let him introduce his last name because it's complicated. I don't want to mess it up, but awesome. Talking about him getting into Berkeley, playing, walking onto Cal Berkeley, playing football there, getting to the NFL as a fullback and some different stories about that. We're also going to hear some bad date stories from our friend Amy Myers, who collects bad date stories from like hundreds of people. I don't know how she ended up as that role, but people just kind of tell her their bad date stories, and there's some pretty crazy ones in there. So that's what we want to do today. But I do want to take a second to just talk about Arkansas. We were noting this. We walked around the baseball field, the football field, the track facility. They have some nice facilities out here, which I guess I knew, but was, I don't know if surprise is the right word. It was just different when you see it in person.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, like, BYU has obviously got nice stuff, but being a private school funded by the church, I don't think they're ever going to have the most lavish, extravagant things in college sports. The U is getting nicer stuff. They've got a very nice basketball facility that they've just put in. But it's just, you know, seeing this stuff, it's like, oh, we do not have as much money as these SEC schools do.
Yeah, and I'm trying to think. Alabama has really nice facilities. I'm thinking of other schools. We saw North Carolina. That's actually where we're going. Tomorrow we'll go through Ole Miss. We're driving to North Carolina, which is why we're in Fayetteville, Arkansas. I think North Carolina has good ones, especially basketball. Alabama has good ones. I'm excited to see Tennessee and Ole Miss. I'm not sure if we'll see Vanderbilt. I know we're going through Nashville. We drove through Lawrence, Kansas and checked out KU. Fog Allen was really cool to see. It didn't have the new nice feeling that Arkansas has. But like the tennis and the track facility was kind of, it looked newish for Kansas.
Yeah. Yeah, that looked newish. And here was, in Arkansas, best track facility I've ever seen. A lot of people don't know this, but Arkansas has very, very good track program. They've sent a lot of track athletes to the Olympics. They've won several national champions in cross-country and track, which is interesting because you think of, you know, Tyson Gay, Wallace Spearman. I don't need to explain this to you people. But yeah, they've had a really good distance program as well. I learned Dina Castor went here. So yeah, really interesting stuff, at least for me.
And we actually just finished watching Arkansas baseball play Ole Miss in Omaha. Arkansas won tonight, so they'll play again tomorrow. The winner of that game will go to the final against Oklahoma. I was cheering for Arkansas, partly because we'll be in Oxford tomorrow when they're playing again. And it's fun to be in college places where there's a lot on the line.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Never been to Oxford. Looking forward to it very much. Before we get to those interviews, the one other thing I wanted to talk about was the article that just came out that I wrote in my last article talking about the top six programs in college football history. I mentioned briefly something about World War II, like college football during World War II. And Matt and several other people actually asked me about it, so I decided to write an article about it. So that's what's up right now on mjdoubletake.com. The link is in both the bio at mjdoubletake and my bio at jacobcowden28. And Matt, I'll just ask you, as someone who was interested in it, I think we're both interested in history in general and college football, obviously. What were your thoughts?
I thought it was a interesting thing. So the reason that I asked the question is in that college football article, you just kind of talk about how Ohio State was able to win at least one, if not more, national championships during that World War II time. I was like, oh, that's kind of an interesting because I know that a lot of people who would have been playing college football went and fought in World War II. And so this just kind of talks about how that happened, how college football kept going. It was cool reading about a lot of the how a lot of the military, not the military schools like Air Force and the Naval Academy and those sorts of things, but just how they would kind of take these soldiers in for training. And it's like, hey, you guys should just have a college football team while you're here.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. So the, like, obviously, like, not everyone who enrolled, the enrollment went up significantly in the Army and Armed Forces during World War II, which I think is natural. And obviously, they couldn't all go to West Point or Annapolis where the academies are. So a lot of them had, like, campuses. Like, North Carolina had a pre-flight school on the University of North Carolina campus, and the pre-flight school had a football team that, like, shared everything with the University of North Carolina, and Georgia and Iowa were the same. There were a couple other ones. And in the first season they did it in 1942, they just let, those schools played against each other. And the year following that, they actually let those schools be ranked. And you had, like, some ex-NFL guys playing on these schools. And the actual colleges, a lot of their best players went to war. A lot of the schools dropped college football during the war just because they lost so many people in attendance, which is understandable. So it was kind of a weird time. Army actually won the 44 national championship.
Yeah.
Which was like the heart of World War II.
Right. Yeah, which is interesting. But yeah. I don't know. I just think it's cool, you know, picturing, you know, this hard time. I think World War II, you know, just I don't want to talk about was the kind of worst or hardest time. But just for those people knowing they're going to go to war, some of those people are not going to come back. And just kind of the role that sports played in their lives. I mean, I know for us, sports is really important, and no matter what's going on for us, we kind of want some sort of sports to exist, whether we're playing or watching. So just kind of thinking of those kids getting ready to go over, and just like, I don't know, it makes me happy. That's like, well, at least they have football, you know, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's what I agree with. It was kind of cool. Like, obviously, there was a lot on their shoulders as, like, 18-year-old kids, but at least they got to play some football before they went over to war to go literally save the world. I read that a couple times, but, like, literally they saved the planet. So, glad they got to play football. So, it was really cool reading about and learning about, because none of the stuff I wrote about, I knew. I did a lot of research, and I linked all the articles and the research that I did at the bottom of the article if you want to read a little more yourself as well. But that's on mjdoubletake.com. Now, here's the interview with Will, former NFL player. I will say we were recording this one outside of a born-again church in somewhere in Kansas. I'm forgetting the name of the town.
Literally a town with, like, 500 people.
Town is even a stretch. It's just a collection of houses.
Yeah, Hamlet.
So there were no cars, no traffic whatsoever. Then as soon as we started recording, a bunch of trucks came by. So if you hear, I tried to mute myself, but if you hear any, like, truck noises or background noises, I apologize. That's just the situation we were in. But I thought it worked out pretty well. Will is great to come on with us. We're going to have him on again in the future. So here's the interview with Will and then the one with Amy's after that. All right, welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by Matt, and a special guest, first professional athlete. You know, I actually should ask you this, Will. I don't know your last name.
It's Taufo'o, which is probably better you asked me to say it before you tried to butcher it. But it is Taufo'o, and it's when you first look at it, I've heard all different kinds of names growing up playing Little League, Pop Warner football, baseball. But I appreciate you asking.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm glad you said it as well. Yeah, we met playing basketball. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I know you're busy with work and family and everything like that.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be on.
Yeah, now one thing that I want to ask about is just before we get to the NFL, just like growing up Bay Area, you went to Berkeley. Is that where you always wanted to go, or were there other schools you were looking at or thinking about?
Coming out of high school, I was getting somewhat recruited, and to be honest, I didn't really pay attention beyond like the level of sport that I was playing. So I was in high school, so I really just paid attention to everyone around me that was playing high school, and I didn't I didn't really have good awareness of what college I wanted to go to until I typically watch more players than universities. But to be the only other option I had was Portland State. It was either Cal Berkeley or Portland State.
That's a pretty big gap in school. Like, did you just not go to a ton of camps and stuff, or what? Like, how did Cal notice you if your only other offer was Portland State?
That's a good question. So, I actually walked on at Cal. My only offer was Portland State. Okay. And it probably would have been easier to take the Portland State just with the scholarship, but for some reason, because of the prestigious of the academics of Cal, my parents wanted me to take a shot there first.
Well, yeah, I mean, your grades must have been. Sorry, Matt.
Or no, I was gonna say, I just think Cal is a cool as a football school. I don't think people think of it as a football school, but then you realize, you know, Marshawn Lynch went there, Deshaun Jackson went there, so they've had a lot of really good players. But then Jake, I think you were talking about the academics.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say your grades must have been in order, because Cal is, I think it's the like highest rated public school in the whole country, if I'm not wrong.
Yeah, it's the number one public university. I would say my grades are decent. I don't know if compared to most people that are getting in. I had a preferred walk-on, so my grades didn't have to be like a 4.0, but definitely were decent.
Yeah, and that Aaron Rodgers went to Cal as well on that
there
list.
There you go.
Yeah. I was during my time there, I believe we had 4 or 5 first-round picks.
Yeah, so who would you play with that we would recognize? Is there anyone on the list that, I mean, we talked about Issa Sofele, but a average person probably would know him.
Well, I mean, probably the most popular name is Marshawn Lynch. Me and Marshawn were the same graduating class out of high school. He only stayed for 3 years. I stayed for 5. So he got to the league much sooner than I did. And then I'm trying to think, Deshaun Jackson is another good name that's still playing. Javid Best was a first round pick, but he has some injuries coming out of college, so his career was shortened in the NFL. Justin Forsett had some really good years in Baltimore. Could be a name that could be a light bulb or whatnot. And then the other ones are really D linemen and offensive linemen. One of my good buddies I trained with out of college for the pro day was Alex Mack, who just retired from the 49ers as a center, who went to the Pro Bowl a handful of times.
Yeah, he was an awesome center. I'm a Niners fan, but even when he was in Cleveland or Atlanta, he was one of the best centers in the league. Javid Best, I forgot about him, but he tore it up at Berkeley. And you were a running back, so you were in the room with Best and Forsett and Lynch, right? Like the same running back room?
Yeah, and I also forgot Shane Vereen. Shane Vereen was with the Giants and the Patriots, who had a really good run.
Oh, man. You guys were stacked.
Our running back room was stacked. And before that, we had Joe Igberg, who is a throwback, and then J.J. Arrington, those two were kind of the start of this decade of great running backs.
Did Cal get lucky in a way, or did they, like, their running back coaches have a really good eye for recruiting, or how do you think, like, all those guys went to Cal?
Well, Marshawn is a local Bay Area guy, so I think him, if you know his personality and who he is he's a native of Oakland and will always represent the Bay, and so I think he was going to stay home no matter what. And then Javid Best is also local. He's from maybe 30 minutes away from Berkeley. And then the other guys our coaches did a good job recruiting a couple of like Southern California guys. And then Forsett was really the only out of state guy I knew, in that group.
California's big enough. Most of the players on the roster, I imagine, were either from the Bay or down in Southern California, right?
Yeah, definitely. But it's changed since I've left. A lot of the local kids are leaving to out-of-state schools, Oregon, Arizona's, Utah. And so I'm not sure if we're just lost touch for a little bit with the coaching changes, but yeah, during my time there, definitely did a great job recruiting local players. Cause De La Salle is only what, I don't know if you heard of De La Salle. De La Salle and their little run on not losing for like 12 years, but they're 45 minutes away from Berkeley as well.
Yeah, there's some, De La Salle's up for the biggest, but there's a few like really good programs in there. Were you in high school during De La Salle's like 12 year run? Did that overlap with you at all?
Yeah, we played them twice and got beat twice, as you imagine, because we're in that 12 year
okay.
winning streak.
That's pretty cool. I was going to ask about, I had a great question. Oh, it was about the rivalry, because, you know, Stanford's obviously the closest rivalry. Is that a big game, or is that just something that the Pac-12, you're close to each other, they want you guys to play and make it a rivalry?
It's a big game. We've had some really good battles, and winning the Axe, and then nothing better than fans and student athletes. I mean, the student body charging the field and experiencing that. So I've been gone from Cal for a long time now. So I graduated in 2009, but during my time there, it was a big thing. And I still think it is. I guess you could compare it to the, I wouldn't compare it. It would be no different than BYU Utah in my experience of watching that game.
What's the difference between Stanford and when you're playing UCLA or USC in state schools, but not down the road?
So during that time, USC was also ridiculously good. They had, I'm trying to think of my graduating class, Brian Cushing. Well, Stanley went there. Stanley was a year after me, but Stanley Havili. But Brian Cushing, Kaluka Maiva, Keith Rivers, and I'm blanking out on the Taylor Mays. Mays was the safety.
Mal Lugo was another linebacker too, right?
Yep, and Matthews, Clay Matthews, was on the USC team. It was actually, honestly, because the Southern California teams were good. They were probably equivalent because they were such big games to win in order to advance to bowl games or in the Pac-10 championship.
Okay. Yeah, USC was, Taylor Mays was awesome in college. When did you realize you had a shot at the NFL? I guess you didn't think about it too much if you only thought about the level you were playing at.
So I didn't actually play until my junior year. I redshirted, played special teams my redshirt freshman, redshirt sophomore year. I had an opportunity to start playing my junior year. And then, interestingly enough, my coach would always tell me that, you know, you have a real chance of playing. And it really didn't click until my senior year. I battled some injuries my junior year, still got an opportunity to play a bunch. But then your senior year, you start to have teams kind of checking you out, looking at agents calling you, and then, you know, scouts hitting you up and just asking you questions. But the other thing is fullback, as you know, if you watch football, it's 30% of plays in NFL and probably 50% of the teams carry fullbacks. And so that was the other thing you're battling as a fullback in that specific position, is being able to contribute in a 53-man roster.
So you went into like your pro day and everything, probably realizing maybe a late round pick, probably an undrafted free agent, just because of the fullback value.
Yeah, as a fullback, third round is basically first round. And then I kind of was hoping for late rounds, but expected free agency, which I was undrafted.
And I might have got your timeline wrong, but you started in Chicago, right?
Yes, I was undrafted in Chicago.
So what did you like about Chicago more than maybe some other teams you were talking to?
Honestly, so even though you're undrafted, you still get a signing bonus. And the way that the way it happens is right when the draft ends, all the teams that have interest in you will give you a call all at once, trying to get your time, offer you a signing bonus depending on their how high they are on you. And the Vikings actually offered me more money for my signing bonus, but I turned it down for the Bears because I felt like there was a better opportunity in terms of the age of the current fullback at Chicago. And I don't know if you watched BYU, the guy that was at Minnesota during that time was Fahu Tahi.
Oh, I remember him. He was sweet.
Yeah. Okay. And he was killing it. He was in his prime at that time. Who knows how it would have worked if I went there. Maybe you would have shown me the ways. But, I chose the less money, and the better opportunity was Chicago. That I felt was a better opportunity.
Had you been to Chicago or Minnesota, any of those places, or was it kind of a shot in the dark as far as living situation?
I've only had an opportunity to visit. So leading up to the draft, a lot of times teams will fly you in for physicals. So I went to Minnesota for physicals and then interviews. I didn't actually go to Chicago for a pre-draft visit, but I've heard a lot of good things. And truthfully, that was my first time living outside of California, and that was my first time living in the real cold. So I've never been to snow until I went to Chicago.
Well, I don't know, man. Oakland gets pretty cold even in the summer. I know it's not that snow cold, but that wind can really get you.
Yeah, it does. It does get windy, but that Chicago wind off the wind effect is unreal. That is chilling bones cold.
Yeah, I was there in I think October, and I was freezing. So I cannot imagine January. Matt, you had I don't want to interrupt you, but you had a question, I think, as well about getting to the NFL.
Oh yeah, so just one thing I was telling Jake that I think is fun hearing NFL players. Was there when you first get into a game, be that special teams or maybe even it was just in a practice, do you ever get hit by, I don't know, Brian Urlacher or Cam Chancellor or someone like that, and just oh, I'm in the NFL now?
Every day in practice, when we're in camp, to be honest with you, it's especially, more for the undrafted guys who are trying to fight and claw to make the team. You're sure. Playing a game every day at practice to try and show your worth and that you're capable and able to make the, to play at the highest level. Obviously, when you're going against first teamers for second or third team, it's a little different. But a lot of times the worst hits came in practice because you're either going against really young guys who have no idea what's going on, or you're just going against knuckleheads that are just trying to make a scene or show something on film.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Cause you would think it's these kind of big famous guys, but yeah, you said, I'm sure you probably had your own hits just trying to prove that you're big enough or strong enough or whatever to make the team. But yeah, it's probably just, guys that we've never heard of.
Yeah. What you'll actually see is, obviously it's a physical game. The older guys that understand the game, understand where to be and spacing and timing, they are physical only when they have to. And then they are much smarter with their eyes and hands to get to places without having to take on as much contact. Just because you think about that wear and tear and longevity of playing, the better you can keep your body intact, the longer you'll play.
Sure. Who's someone that you felt did a good job of that, of I guess timing their hits or timing the physicality and had a real good presence of that?
Oh, so I mean, I got to watch Megatron, Calvin Johnson, when I was there's the crazy thing about the NFL, there's guys that are 5'6", and then there's guys that are 6'9", running the same speed. it's just literally some physical attributes that are insane, just freaks of nature from a physical side of things. Julius Peppers was another guy that I went against. Well, got to watch him in practice and attempted to try and block him in practice. But when he's 6'6", and his arm's longer than how tall I am, it wasn't hard for him to to low deflect me. And then you think of guys like Taylor Mays, who are 6'4", safeties, 220. One guy that I just thought about that one against, we were playing in Seattle. This is during the Legion of Boom. I had to block Cam Chancellor. And, I mean, I saw his size and weight on paper, but when I actually hit him in the game, it felt like I was hitting a brick wall. I was like, dude, how are you a safety? When the dude laid the boom.
Man, that's crazy. Yeah, all those names are – I love, like, hearing those names. Cam Chancellor was insane. Would you say that was the biggest jump from college to the NFL was just the physicality of everyone? Or I've heard a few different things. I've heard, like, the speed of the game. What would you say is the biggest difference from college to the NFL?
I would say the knowledge and speed. And when I say knowledge first, it's because – people are moving so much faster because they're anticipating, like, they're so much smarter about understanding and studying plays that they can anticipate what's going to happen faster than someone in college who's just showing up playing. So, like, the preciseness of each play, offense, the balls being thrown, all ties into understanding the game and the speed of the game.
I have a couple more questions and I'll let you go. I appreciate you taking the time to come on with us. What would you say is the coolest stadium you played at, either in the NFL or in college?
Oh, so I'll go college first. I hate it. I mean, playing at the Coliseum is pretty sick. The atmosphere and then honestly, their band. Their band plays that their fight song so much that you'll leave singing it without even knowing it. Oregon, Austin Stadium, top three. And then I would say the last one was University of Tennessee. We played at University of Tennessee. And that was the first time where I was in the stadium opening kickoff. My helmet was actually shaking from the noise. It felt like, you know, you're watching a video game through a face mask, like first person, whatever you call it, and you could see things shaking, how fast things are moving. That's what it felt like when I was playing at Tennessee. And then in the NFL, I played in Wembley twice overseas at London, which I thought was sick and a great experience because their fans cheered for everyone, everything and everyone. Didn't matter who was winning or losing or who did good or bad. And they just had a great, you know, energy. I'm trying to think. Chicago Bears is a cool stadium, just historically. I'm trying to think of a third one that I really liked. They're all unique and cool in their own way. I would say playing at the New York Giants and the New York Jets stadium, just seeing how they flip it is also cool.
That's cool. Because Soldier Field, that is probably, I would say, maybe the top historical, like, NFL website, or not website, stadium you got to use that as your home. I was not expecting Wembley and MetLife, where the Giants and Jets play, so that's kind of cool. I forgot Cal play. I remember that Cal-Tennessee game in Knoxville. I just forgot it happened. That was a big deal. That was cool, though. That's sweet. Yeah. Matt, do you have anything before I let Will go? Or we let Will go?
No, you can go ahead and end it, but this has been a really cool conversation. It's been nice to have you on.
Yeah, appreciate you guys having me. And if you guys ever want to have me back, just let me know and I'll bring some other stories.
I think we'd love that for sure. That'd be awesome. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, thanks for coming on. Well, I'd love to hear about it. And we will be right back.
All right, welcome back to Double Take with Matt and Jake. This is Jake, joined by my good friend, Amy Myers. Amy, thank you for coming on the show.
No, thanks for having me. I'm excited. I'm excited to be here.
You're the first non-sports person on the show, so big, big honor for you.
Yeah, actually very, very honored. Really excited.
You should be. So Amy is the designated, I don't know how to frame it, but what would you call yourself? I would like, because you don't, they're not your bad dates. You just,
I post about them. Some of them are mine. I do have a few really bad date stories. I have to be careful what I say, though, because unfortunately some of the bad daters still follow me on social media. So sometimes I've got to be a little bit careful.
Yeah, so where did you get the, because basically it's like, wasn't it like a year or two ago you just posted on your story and like tell me your bad date stories? Did you mean it to be a thing, or how did this happen?
I honestly wasn't expecting anything, but it was, I think, around July of 2020. So peak COVID, no one's really doing anything still. And I was really bored one day, and I was just curious to see if anybody had any really bad date stories. I think I had just talked to one of my roommates about a bad date I'd had, and so I just wanted to know everybody else's. And the week prior, I decided to randomly ask a question about, like, do you kiss on the first date? And then that got a ton of responses. And so the next week I asked worst date stories, and I'm not kidding you, I got flooded with DMs, and it was shocking to see how terrible some of these dates have been. And if it wasn't from friends, like all these stories that I've been told are from like my literal friends, I wouldn't have believed it. And so that was 2 years ago. That's kind of how it got started. And every so often, like every couple months, I'll get people who will like randomly DM me and ask if I'll like share more stories. So a couple weeks ago, I thought it was long enough that I decided to ask the question again, and I got a plethora of very good stories.
Yeah, it's your story. It's like one of those Instagram stories where it's just like dot, 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 just because there's so many bad dates. You might not even share all of them.
Oh no. I had a couple people share really bad dating stories with me, but they said, this is just for your eyes. So, and there's some that I still haven't even shared because I got so many that I keep forgetting.
Man, that is crazy. It's honestly crazy. I was telling you this off the air, but like reading some of these from a guy's perspective, like so many guys do so many dumb things. You think the bar would be lower, because I feel like I'm a normal guy.
Yeah, you are.
I didn't see anything I did on your bad dating story, so at least no one I went out with had anything.
Yeah, no one called you out, so you're solid.
Man, what was like one of the most surprising things? Like, I know there's a lot of bad stuff, but was there anything that's like, that's just weird?
I think one of the weirdest ones that I got, or just one of the craziest ones, I got originally 2 years ago, and it was from a kid I went to high school with, and I'll just read what they had sent in, and I truly did not believe this. So they wrote in and said, there were a state story. While I was on the date, she let me know she was recently divorced. She told me how crazy her ex was. He had some anger issues and had recently taken up boxing. They go on the date and he goes, I dropped her off around 11 and went to walk her to the door. I stepped out of the car and noticed a guy waiting by her door. It was her ex. I guess he had been calling her the whole time when we were out. She didn't answer, so he came to check on her, in quotes. He threw me to the ground and Hulk smashed my car and then threatened to kill me multiple times. He ended up suing him and never went out with the girl again. But then he sent me a picture of the car, and the whole front side of his car is literally smashed in.
I remember seeing that, and it sounded bad, and then seeing the picture. Maybe if you like text me the picture, I'll put it like on a podcast, Twitter, or something.
Yeah,
like
that. Yeah, I'll send you the picture for sure.
Because seeing the picture is like, oh, this is like a Marvel movie. It's not just like a little dent with his head. It's like smashed pretty good.
Oh yeah, I am surprised the car. Like honestly, I thought it was gonna be like totaled or something.
Yeah, I honestly, after seeing that, I was like, how does a kid have brain damage like that? It looked bad.
Yeah, and it's not like this kid was small, like super small. Like he's pretty put together. And so for him to, you know, get thrown to the ground by someone else is pretty surprising.
Would you say you got more responses from girls about bad dates or guys about bad dates?
100% got more responses from girls. And if I got responses from men, they called them out themselves.
That's funny. Was there a theme? Like, was there one thing you noticed? Like, oh, guys are idiots. They keep doing this one thing.
Not really. I just kind of noticed that a lot of these stories happened when everyone was like a freshman in college. So maybe people are just very inexperienced, but it was all like around the same age timeline type thing.
Like Mormon guys come home from their mission and they're still awkward?
Oh, so awkward. And it could be because we both live in Utah, and a lot of these responses came from people who are in Utah. Some of them are from friends who live outside of the state, but I don't know if it's like a Utah cultural thing too, but I don't, it's weird.
I've tried to explain, when I lived in Arizona, I tried explaining Utah or BYU even to my friends, and they just didn't get it. It's a different place for sure.
Yeah, it is. It's a different, we're a different breed. That's for sure.
What are some more stories that you have lined up?
Oh, okay. I have so many. Okay, let's see. I'm scrolling. Okay, I will read this one. It's really long. Everyone, I got multiple DMs that asked me if this story was fake, but I had proof that it was not fake. Okay, here we go. This girl actually told me this in person and then wrote it down for me and sent it in. But she goes, this random guy asked me out and everyone told me how nice and fun he was, so I gave it a chance. We went to an arcade and it was fine, but awkward. And then we went to get prizes and he insisted on getting these unicorn horns to wear. So like a headband. We put them on and took a pic, and then I went to take it off and he got mad at me and told me I had to keep it on. Then we went to Swig, it's a like a local Utah drink shop for anyone outside of the state of Utah. So they go to Swig and he pulled up to the window and started neighing like a horse and told me I had to neigh like a horse with him. Then we left and I told him I was ready to go home, and he was almost to my house and drove right past my street and said something like, I'm not ready for the night to end, and then proceeded to drive around for 2 hours. During that time, he told me the weirdest stories about himself, and he drank my whole drink and gave his to me. And then when he dropped me off, he walked me up to my door and I thought he was going in for a kiss, but he leaned in. We were still wearing the unicorn horns because he got mad at me anytime I tried to take them off. And he touched his unicorn horn to mine and neighed and then left.
That, there's just so much to unpack.
Too much.
But this is by far not the weirdest part of the story, but I just think when he drove by that poor girl's house, like,
oh,
that, I know it's not even the weirdest top five things in the story, but just like, take her home, man. Like, oh man, I feel bad for her.
Just knowing that, like, she couldn't, she was so close to getting out of this bad date, and then he just took, oh man.
Yeah, and that's something, we're getting really close to leaving funny and going into like patriarchy talk here, but like, I'd never even think about that because I'm always the one driving. I also never do that. If, like, we go home. I don't drive past their house. But, like, girls don't even have a choice. That's something they have to think about all the time. Like,
Yeah, and I think when this person, she told me it in person, she tried to say a couple times, like, I'm ready to go home. And this kid just did not listen to her.
Man, that's gotta – I mean, it sounds like it wasn't too – threatening this scenario, but that can be kind of scary.
Yeah,
like
she did say she didn't feel unsafe. She just thought he was weird.
Sounds weird. Yeah, geez, weirdo. Ugh. I mean, I wonder what the Swig people thought.
Well, this is the best part. She didn't put this in her story, but her friends were working at the time.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. She drives up. She has friends that are working, and this kid is just neighing at them. Not saying a word, just a nay.
I'd be so annoyed if I'm like a food or a retail person and someone's just neighing at me. It's like, just tell me what you want.
Oh, yeah. She told me that she didn't tell her parents about this date for 4 years. This was like probably 4 years ago. And she told me she had just recently told her parents about it because she felt so awkward about it. And she didn't even do anything.
Yeah, no, not her fault at all. That's so weird. Man, what's give us one more good one that you got lined up.
Oh my gosh. Okay. Another really good one. Let's see. I'll kind of try and find one from someone who is out of the state.
If you're tied, you can give us a couple too. If there's like a couple you think are good.
Oh my gosh. I mean, so many. Okay. This is a good one. My strange date. I went on a fourth date, planned to stay at her place until taking a red eye for an interview the next day. I think her place was close to the airport too. Moved up to her bedroom when the downstairs door opens. She tells me to get in the closet and close the door. Later, I found out her husband was out of town and he said the brother could come over and she had forgotten. I grabbed my computer, finished my case study in the closet for the next 2 hours, then James Bond styled my way out the back door. Got away, got on the flight, got the job. I guess it worked out.
You know, something that I'm thinking of is most of the two ones you shared that are from guys involve a girl's current or former spouse.
Yeah.
Is that a thing? I guess neither of us are divorced, so we don't know. But yeah. I feel like most girls have been honest with me as far as I'm aware if they're married. Is that something that maybe I'm missing out on?
I feel like most people are, but then I'm unsure. I don't know. Have you heard of that? I hate to bring this up because it's literally so drawn out, but there's all that drama from all these Utah moms and they were all having affairs and dating other people.
Well, I heard there's like that gym in Draper that.
Oh, the treehouse.
Yeah. Is that what you're talking about?
No, there's this new drama that's going around, but all these like TikTokers from Utah, they were all involved in this swingers club. And
at least Zach Wilson's mom was one of them.
No, but Zach Wilson's mom, I believe, teaches at the treehouse.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me at all.
But I remember when I, because where I grew up, the treehouse is like 3 minutes from my mom's house where I grew up. And I remember, like, it was a really bad thing that all these wives were just cheating on their husbands. And they would go to the treehouse. And I remember you'd see these, I don't know for what reason, these women were just, like, wearing loads and loads of makeup. And I guess that was, like, a place where people would go meet up and just cheat on their spouse.
And there's some new drama now.
New drama about... So I don't know. Maybe it's a Utah thing. I'm unsure, but yeah, just I would like to think that people wouldn't lie and say they weren't married or they were married, but I guess you never know. But then it also is a thing where I feel like a lot of stories nowadays, people meet online through dating apps. And so you can push a certain narrative of who you want to be, and people, I mean, you only say what you want people to see, right?
Right.
So
yeah,
just and wild.
I get not bringing up like the first thing like that you're divorced, which some people do, and it's totally fine. I also get it, people don't want to do that. If you're currently married, I would bring that up sooner rather than later. I guess you're not trying to be deceitful at that point, so maybe that's not their top priority. But
yeah,
what do I know?
Yeah, but both of us just given our single opinions. For what it's worth, we can't really speak on it either because both of us are still single.
Yeah. And Zach Wilson's family, for someone who we don't really talk about the Jets a lot, he's come up quite a bit. There's just a lot going on in that family.
Yeah, I was talking to someone a couple months ago. I mainly follow basketball, to be quite honest with you, so I don't know a lot about football. But I know there was some drama between his mom posting a lot of stuff on her social media and, like, the Jets. They were not happy about it.
So Zach literally asked her to stop posting. Like, he asked her to stop posting. She made this video. She's like, yeah, so my son, who NFL quarterback, big deal, like, he said he stopped posting, like, because she was like, I don't think he used the word embarrassing, but I think that's kind of what she was hinting at. And he was basically like, I get all this hate from it. you're getting all this hate. I hate seeing you like this. So I think Zach had good
intentions, but, for sure.
Yeah. And she was, yeah, Zach seems like the most normal one in the whole family. But her video was like, I'm not going to do that. There are people who tell me they wake up in the morning and get out of bed because of my Instagram. And I almost vomited. I was like, disgust. Like, I can't believe people think like that. And then the whole Zach was with the Jets at this point. So the whole national media was making jokes about how they get out of bed for Zach Wilson's mom.
That's really funny. It's just crazy too how much social media has changed in our like decade, right? Like when we were younger, the internet didn't exist really. And now, you know, both of us are in our 30s. I do social media for a living for my job. And it's crazy that, you know, I can in a matter of an instant can hear all of these stories or gather all these stories about bad dates or hear all these terrible, funny jokes about, you know, these memes about, you know, Zach Wilson and his mom. And, you know, it's just wild.
Well, yeah, because without Instagram, like, there's no way you'd get hundreds of people reaching out to you about horrible dating stories without it. It is weird, honestly. It's kind of think back when we were in high school, it's unreal to think like what Instagram is or what social media is now.
Oh, totally. I don't even think I got an Instagram until after we graduated, right? That wasn't around until after, correct?
No, I was on my mission and one of my companions tried explaining it to me as like Facebook, but only pictures. And I thought it was the dumbest thing.
I also thought it was really dumb. And now look at us.
Yeah, now I don't even use Facebook. I just use Instagram.
Yeah, I'm hardly ever on Facebook unless it's, again, for part of my job.
Yeah, it's weird. Man, we've talked about social media, how it's affecting our society, the patriarchy, the Wilson family. There's a lot more than I thought we were going to cover today.
It's quite a big segment. You're gonna have some fun editing this down, that's for sure.
No, I'm keeping everything. It's been fun.
It's pretty good.
Man, I appreciate you coming. Again, this is Amy Myers. Do you have a Twitter? Usually we plug people's social media stuff. What's your Instagram? That'd actually be a better one for people to plug.
Yeah, just an Instagram in case people want to send us their bad dates. We'll read them. But it's just at Amy Nicole Myers. Very long, very boring.
Amy is A-I-M-E-E.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I spell it the French way.
So I dated a girl who spelled it that way, but she had an apostrophe, like a accent over
the first she name. Did like a me.
Yeah, but so now my phone, anytime I type in Amy, like puts the act like the whatever over it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so annoying. I know she doesn't listen to this, so I can say it. It's the dumbest way to spell. Like, it's, you're not, like, I get spelling it that way, but don't put the accent over the E, you know? We're not in Normandy or anything.
Was she not French or anything?
No, her parents were, like, one of them was, like, a quarter Peruvian. Like, nothing to do with France. Like, she was white. She was, like, a little Peruvian, but she looked very white. But, yeah, no French at all. And her mom just thought it was a nice, like, cool name.
She liked being fancy.
Yeah, because her dad wanted to name her Amy, and her mom wanted to name... This is really off topic. Her mom wanted to name her something legitimate French, so that was a compromise that they spelled it that way and put the accent. You said it better than me, but...
Yeah. Just feeling real fancy.
Yeah, so Amy, A-I-M-E-E, Nicole Myers, thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be right back. All right. Big thanks to Amy for coming on. Big thanks to Will for coming on. It's just so interesting. All those names Will is talking about, like Javid Best, obviously like Marshawn Lynch is big, but Justin Forsett. Like, I just like forgot about all those people. Javid Best in particular balled out at Cal. So it was cool hearing about them. That was a stacked running back room they had.
Yeah, well, and I say this in the interview with Will. You don't think of Cal as a football school. I still don't think of Cal as a football school. But hearing all those people, it's like, oh man, there's a lot of really good people in college football, just kind of in general. But like, yeah, a ton of those guys made it to the NFL, which just shows how competitive college football is.
if you're looking at just like the top, like a school's best quarterback, running back, and wide receiver from the NFL, Cal has Aaron Rodgers, Marshawn Lynch, and DeSean Jackson. I'd have to like actually think about it, but off the top of my head, that seems pretty hard to beat for one school.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got Aaron Rodgers, that's, and considering how important quarterback is, that's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I'm going to actually think about that because that'd be interesting. Like, what school has the best quarterback, running back, and wide receiver alumni? Yeah.
And the good news is you can start a quarterback. So Michigan, I'm sure, is going to have a really good one with Tom Brady.
Would Desmond Howard be their best one?
You would know better than me.
Definitely wasn't college, I would say, their best receiver in college.
Right, yeah. No, you'd want to look at Tennessee. USC, I think, might have the best wide receiver running back just off the top of my head. I don't think there's any quarterback that's going to compete with.
USC has Keyshawn Johnson, I would say, is their best receiver in the NFL. Yeah. Unless I might be forgetting someone. This is, again, off the top of my head.
Right. Who is a better, I think, NFL receiver than Desmond Howard?
That's true. I had a Keyshawn Johnson jersey. Do you remember that?
I do remember Tampa Bay
Keyshawn. I don't remember why I got that, but
you had it.
I'm happy to wear it. This was when I was like 9 or something like that. Yeah, I'll think about that. We'll think about that. But appreciate Will coming on again. He's going to come on in the future as well. Appreciate Amy coming on. And we'll keep you updated. I think we got a couple big guests in the pipeline as well coming up. So not need to confirm it before announcing anything, but there's a couple people I'm really excited about. So we'll talk to you guys later.